speak.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Cheryl Duncan speaking. We are doing our Blog Talk Radio compliments of Women of Balance Mastermind Group. On the call is my Mastermind member, Pat Edwards. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Cheryl. How are you this wonderful spring Saturday morning?
I am just so glad to be alive. How's that for an answer?
Well, that sounds healthy.
Well, I tell you, you know, so often we take things for granted. And when you have the opportunity to just see such a beautiful day and in South Florida, it, you just know that you must have done something right along the way.
Absolutely.
For our guest that's joining us, we're going to be working from Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And we're going to be working from the piece that follows the sixth sense. So if you have a book and you want to follow along with us, no matter which version of the book you have, which copyrighted, you know, it's been copied several times since he did it, thank God. We're going to be working from that book, and we're going to focus on the chapter that says how to outwit the sixth ghost of fear. Isn't that an interesting topic, Pat?
Absolutely. You know, having read the book before and now doing this topic on health, it's amazing how well it all dovetails into one another, which I guess is what would have led Anne McNeil, who is the founder of the International Masterminders Association, to select health not only as a topic for this year, but one of the 10 areas of health, one of the 10 areas that we as masterminders work with every day. And I know, Cheryl, you're going to speak more specifically to those 10 areas later on in the program.
Well, I tell you what, because this is an interactive show, I think we need to take a moment and tell people how they can participate. So for those of you who are listening, feel free to call your or text or email your family members, neighbors, coworkers, friends, and former foes and tell them that we're on the air. They can join us by internet, logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by phoning. I hope you've got pencil and paper ready. You may dial 661-554-9219. Let me give you that information again. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S. The number, area code 661-554-9219. All right. So any minute now, we're going to have people join in our show. We do have some masterminders on the line with us, on the phone with us. I know you're going to have some very good questions based only on what we're talking about, as my knowledge is limited. But being that we have so many informative people on the line, I'm sure this will come together.
I'd like to just remind everyone, too, that those people who are deeply involved in social media to tweet and to blog and to get on Facebook, to invite people to join the show. And I know our president, Anne McNeil, is on the show. And at this point, Anne, could you also advise our listeners who may not be masterminders who might have joined us how to contact international masterminders and maybe briefly tell them about the upcoming mid-year conference where they can actually meet masterminders face-to-face?
Well, good morning, our listening audience, and thank you so very much, Patricia Edwards and Cheryl, for hosting the show. I am the master builder, Anne McNeil, Building Masterminds, and we are sharing this show on behalf of the Women of Balance and the International Mastermind Association. And our organization is comprised of many like-minded individuals all over the world who focus, who focus on 10 different areas of our lives. And Cheryl is going to go into more detail, but the 10 areas are spiritual, family, financial, education, health, personal development, business or careers, recreation, creativity, and civic. And what we do is we set goals in these different areas of our lives for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and even out to 50 years. No, some of us may not be here, but we're looking at what we would like to have as a legacy that we intend to leave as we live a life of significance. Our organization holds two major events a year. One we call an annual meeting, which is held in January, and the second one is called a mid-year meeting, which is held in the middle of the year, normally at the end of June or the middle to the end of July. And you can go to the International Masterminders, and that's with an S, .com, for our website to get more information for the upcoming event, as right now it is still a date we're waiting to set. And the place for our mid-year conference is going to be held at the Embassy Suites off of Umatilla Road in Boca Raton. And thank you so very much, Pat. And Cheryl, I turn the show back over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. As I said earlier, today's focus will be how to outwit the ghost of fear. And it's such a fitting topic in that I was just experiencing fear this morning. In fact, moments ago, you probably heard that stutter taking place. And one of the things that I did based on the chapter that I read is I began to talk to myself. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But as we get into the topic itself, I just found it interesting that he was titled it How to Outwit the Ghost of Fear. Now, with special emphasis on how these fears affect our health will be our focus today, being that health is the focus for our organization throughout 2012. So you will find people you will find that this topic, even though we're discussing it, we're going to keep asking you to go back to the book. This topic, again, is located after the chapter that is entitled The Sixth Sense. One of the reasons we're going to continue to ask you to go back to the book is because there is a self-analysis that is in the book. Not sure that we can do that on the air successfully, but being that it is such an important part of making all of this come together, we would want you to not only take notes, but also do the work. Wouldn't you say, Pat, that so many people in life, or large numbers, record-breaking numbers of people, just refuse to do the work that's necessary to create the life they say they want?
Well, I think we are each guilty of that, and I think that is really the premise of the entire Think and Grow Rich book. And Napoleon Hill says this very clearly, that if you, you know, do it half-hearted and you don't do it consistently and you don't, as you say, put in the work, you won't get the results. And I think that we've all seen this, and it is so true of life, but we've been so comfortable living that way that it's a shift that some of us are not willing to make because, as you say, we don't want to put in the work. And that's true for even our health. We all know what we ought to do, but it's so much easier to continue to eat or not to walk or to continue to smoke or do whatever we're doing instead of making our health a focus and putting that in our daily plans and taking charge of it. So it all really ties in, yes.
The author tells us that indecision is the seedling of fear and that indecision crystallizes into doubt. Napoleon Hill basically says that indecision, doubt, and fear slowly paralyzes people so that they never get the lives that they truly deserve. So as we go through today's show, we're going to see if we can move those various mountains out of our way. We know that the spirit of fear has the ability to hide itself in such a way that you won't necessarily be conscious that it's there. In fact, most people would even be in denial. So as we go through these six areas of fear, I would like you to commit to be very honest about where you are in those places. And I remember often hearing that the truth hurts. So even in your pain, tap into the realities of where you are. Once you know where you are, you can begin to address those fears and move on. Well, according to the book, the fear of poverty is number one. What would you say about the fear of poverty, Pat?
Well, the fear of poverty, as Napoleon Hill says, it says that there can be no compromise between poverty and riches. The two roads that lead to poverty and riches travel in opposite directions. So if you want riches, you must refuse to accept any circumstance that leads towards poverty. But poverty has another side to it, in that poverty does affect our health, and sometimes, certainly in the society in which we live today, health and being very sick can create poverty, in that as we learned that it health, the inability to afford health care leads many people into bankruptcy. Poverty also, in the practical sense, and we're talking now financial poverty, but he refers also to poverty of the mind. Financial poverty affects people's ability to buy the medications that they need or to take less of the medications than they ought to. They skip pills. They cut pills in half, and they don't get better. Sometimes poverty prevents access to health care. So, there's the two types of poverty here. There's practical poverty that affects our health every day, and the poverty of the spirit, I think, which is what Napoleon Hill is referring to here.
You know, so fear of poverty I hear what you're saying.
Is a state of mind and nothing else. But it is sufficient, he says, to destroy one's chances of achievement in any undertaking, because fear paralyzes the faculty of reason, and it destroys. Destroys the imagination, and it kills off your ability to be self-reliant, and it undermines your enthusiasm, discourages your initiative, and leads to an uncertainty of purpose. And I think one of the things you suggested, that doesn't this sound like depression, but we're not medical doctors on the show, so we can't make a diagnosis, but it certainly doesn't sound like something we want to embrace, because it encourages procrastination. How many of us know that so well? And it wipes out enthusiasm and makes self-control an impossibility. So you can see here how this relates to your health. Look at obesity. I mean, I've been to two separate major conferences in the last 2 months. One was a fun conference, it was Jazz in the Gardens, and one was a big conference, an international conference on cancer, and it was amazing to look at the people in terms of there were very few people there without muffin tops. Everybody in both conferences, two different ethnicities, multi-ethnic people, and everybody seems to be suffering from a common problem of obesity. So it takes a charm for one's personality, he says, and it destroys the poverty of accurate thinking. So, you know, the fear of poverty is what we have to certainly work on in order to achieve anything.
Napoleon Hill points out that in that fear of poverty, you will find that people who are suffering with that don't sleep well at night. They're worried, and, you know, all of those types of things. You talked about the financial aspect of it. Then you've got the foods that you can't afford or won't or not interested in. So it goes back to the poor health piece. So with that fear of poverty, it's more important to tap into where you are there, because with the lifestyles that we live and the homes that we live in and the cars and all of those things, we'll say, well, I don't have a fear of poverty. But is that really true? Isn't that fear of poverty might cause you to go beyond your spending because you don't want to look like you don't have? And especially with those class reunions, you know, everybody hates going back to those class reunions because everybody wants to look like they've been so successful, as opposed to saying, you know, look, in this current economy, I'm unemployed, or wherever you might be in that. So that fear of poverty is indeed a major one, especially in today's economy. Now, even though you said we weren't medical doctors, Pat, I think it's important that the viewers and listeners know that you do have a nursing background. So where I would not know some of those things, I'm sure that we can rely on your prior knowledge with your years of nursing experience. The second fear Napoleon Hill focuses on, are you guys raising your hand or tapping in or any of those things? Not quite sure. Remember, this is an interactive show, so feel free to join in. Pull my coattail if I talk too much, something I've been known to do. But the book goes on to talk about the fear of criticism. When you know that fear of criticism has got to be a major thing, working in the school system and sitting in parent conferences, I'm often in awe of the types of things that will come out of the mouths of parents, people who are supposed to love their children. So the fear of criticism would start very early in life. Would you agree with that, Pat?
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, in the book, he says that it should be recognized as a crime. In reality, it is a crime of the worst nature for any parent to build inferiority complexes in the mind of a child through unnecessary criticism. And criticism is one form of service which everyone has too much of.
I'm noticing many of our fights that we have in schools that fueled through bullying goes back to he said this, he said that. So not only are our children criticized at home, then they get into certain environments where they're criticized again, and I guess the anger being more than they can bear causes even a bigger problem. Criticism definitely will create a sense of inferiority, nervousness. I remember when my goddaughter was in her youth, her preschool ages, and she was stuttering. And I spoke with one of the speech therapists at my school about what that was about. And she said she's so used to people not hearing her that in her fear to get it out, she will stutter, and that we would need to stop her, have her breathe, and reassure her that we were there for her and whatever she said was fine. And as we began to praise her more on what wonderful person she was and all the things she was accomplishing, she began to stutter less and less and less. So that criticism is an ugly monster. You talk about a ghost, that's one that people don't always see themselves being a part of. When it comes towards you, you can hear the criticism, but how often are we those who torture others by putting them down in so many ways? Wow. Are there any health factors that you can think of that might be a part of that fear of criticism? Oh, there you go. Look at our magazines. Look at what's happening in the industry with plastic surgery and all of that kind of stuff. That would pretty much come in self-criticism, I would say. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think that is. But I think one of the major health issues that has to do with fear and criticism surrounds drug use. Because that, you know, there is a lot of lack of self-confidence. There is a lot of that inferiority, the decisions of not feeling loved, and all the things that sometimes are said to lead to this. So I think that is certainly one of the issues. And I think also the whole idea of bullying and, you know, this is not only with children, but adults. Many people are just unable to cope with criticism. And some of the people who criticize us most are not only parents to children, but other relatives. And oftentimes it creates toxic situations for us in our lives. And I think you're reading more and more today in the literature that if there are people in your life, that affect you in a toxic way, no matter who these people are, to eliminate them from your life by separating yourself from their influences. So this fear of criticism can be very numbing and, affects every part of your life because, as Napoleon Hill says in his book, criticism will plant fear or resentment in the human heart, but it will not build love or affection. So, you know, the violence, the drug, abusive relationships, all these things can be related back to the fear of criticism.
Good morning, Cheryl and Pat. It's Stephanie.
Hi.
Just want to interrupt and thank you so much this morning for helping us with the sixth sense, and we have Sharon Jackson on the line who'd like to make a comment.
Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure you understood how much I'm enjoying the conversation and wanted to add something in. Last week, I was teaching a social science class in middle school, and the kids started talking about that. What are the cues in advertisement that make you feel badly or start resenting who you are? And this panel of girls took it seriously. And one girl said, I'm a blonde. And even in these days and times, there are people that still make fun of me in advertisements and in person because I'm a blonde. And then there was another young girl, she was a black girl, and she said, I still look at a lot of these ads, and almost all the ads, the girls are light. Way lighter than I am. So the expectation is that if I'm not light and pretty like that girl, I'm not as smart as they are. And they started going down the line of all the things in eighth grade that they have recognized in all the advertisement. They don't look like them, so they're starting to think, what do I do? And it is amazing in middle school how many girls color their hair. Sixth, seventh, eighth grade, they're coloring their hair. And so I'm just, you know, in listening to some of those kids, some of the youth, it was just amazing what they have already picked up on, things that they're trying to, they have already internalized, and they're already starting to talk about it. That was my comment.
That's an excellent, excellent comment, you know, Cheryl. And it even comes to the point of the whole idea of bleaching of the skin among women of color, because, and even I've heard it even in families where there is a reference to the color of one child's skin versus another, and all these, that's why, you know, Napoleon Hill says it should be a crime for parents to do things like this, but that happens, and that's an excellent insight into this whole discussion. Thanks.
And
so
I'm pretty sure that's a strong root in the divorce numbers that we see in our nation. As I have been divorced, and a lot of that came in the self-worth that I lost based on the criticism of my ex-husband. At one point, you know, they say that a negative stroke is 80 times more stronger than a positive stroke. So when you're being badgered every day in and day out, regardless of your age, it takes a toll on you.
Absolutely.
And so here's what we know. We know, based on the book, that when you, through criticism, destroy that spirit of imagination, then we're not going to have the
the witty adventures that we've seen in the past, being it cars, clothes, electronics, Disney Worlds, because when that thing gets destroyed in you and you don't have the means to turn that around and refuel your imagination and refuel your confidence, then you can't get to the wealth that's been waiting for you for God knows how many years. So as we look at this self-analysis in the back of our book, it's very important that we be honest with where we are. So those of you who are listening, sure hope you've called someone and told them how to tune into our talk show as well as how to call in. Again, that number is 661-554-9219. As International Masterminders Association goes beyond the call of duty when it comes to opening the understanding of our listeners. So as we move on.
Cheryl, we have Dr. Betty Knighton on the phone with us. She'd like to join our discussion. So, Dr. Betty, you going to go ahead and join Cheryl and Pat on their discussion this morning?
Yes, good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Betty.
Wonderful show. I'm really enjoying it. I wanted to make a comment on something Cheryl said a second ago. She was talking about it. This was her niece who was stuttering and how they affirmed her and the stuttering became less and less. Giving our kids positive affirmations and praising them is so very important, but there's so many parents who don't realize that and don't know that there's a need to do that. And as a result, their kids go out into the world not affirmed, and the least little thing that's said to them, it really hurts them. And sometimes they do become the victims of bullying. It's so common today. But, you know, if a child knows who she is, and has been affirmed, those little comments won't have so much impact. I was just looking out my window yesterday, and there were three cars, three different parents, and a whole group of students where somebody had been bullying somebody else, and the parents were getting into it with each other. But if we could just teach parents, especially some of the younger parents, praise your children, tell them they're special. Tell them they're smart, and they will be less likely to be affected by comments from their classmates. So this fear thing, it is very important regardless of what kind of fear it is, but there's a lot that we can do to help our children. So I just wanted to make that comment. I think you made some very, very good points. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, for those of us who read or saw the help, I couldn't help but thinking, as you were saying it, I don't remember the exact words, but the main character with the little girl always made such positive affirmations to her. I don't know if anybody on the phone remembers the exact words, which said, you're smart, you're kind, and she told her that every day. So can you imagine what kind of strong, self-confident young woman that little girl grew into? This was a black maid speaking to this white child for whom she cared for. But every day she gave her a positive affirmation, not once, but several times a day.
And you need it several times a day because between commercials and all the other things that comes into our consciousness, it gets affected. My daughter had a friend when they were in middle school, and the mother of the friend asked me if I could teach her daughter to have high self-esteem. And I said, I called her by name and I said, well, you know, really, that's your job. And she said something that I never forgot. She said, I can't teach her high self-esteem because I don't have high self-esteem. So what, when you're aware as a parent that you don't have what you need to give your child, I challenge you to find a way to get what you need and to get that child what they need, because at some point the cycle has to end, so that your bloodline can be empowered to get to all of their destiny that's waiting for them once they're empowered and feel confident enough to go after the things that they want most. Looking at the ghost of fear as it relates to ill health. Now, Pat, the book talks about
hypochondria and being overweight and all of those types of things. And being that you've read that book, is there anything you'd like to share in the area of the fear of ill health?
Pat and Cheryl, before you go on, we have Nefreda on the line who would like to join our discussion and join you on the panel this morning. So if you, Nefreda, if you'd like to jump
in. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to jump in. I was enjoying all of what was being said. And I know that Cheryl was getting ready to get into something just now, and I want to allow her to do that before I make any comments. Well, thank you all for allowing me to join the discussion this morning. This is just so rich and so good. I'm hoping that our listening audience is having as wonderful time as I am, listening to all of these different things that we're discussing this morning to help us get on track and get ourselves in the proper lane to start experiencing some of the things that life has to offer. And I think that overcoming the majority of what Cheryl and Pat have been discussing this morning so wonderfully is going to help us to do that. So, Cheryl, please continue. I just want to let you guys know that I'm in as well.
Well, thank you for those positive strokes. Thank you. And it came just as we talked about the importance of doing that. So, Pat, what can you tell us about the fear of ill health?
Well, I think, you know, I'm always amazed when I read The Think and Grow Rich. Being 75 years old, the book, not me, okay?
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, it's very important. Working on it, though, because I'm going to be like Anne. I'm going to be till 92 at least. The fear of ill health is probably one of the greater fears that we have. Because, as he says, ill health is feared because of the suffering it causes and the fear and the uncertainty of what may happen when death comes. In addition, there is a fear of the economic toll it takes. There's overwhelming evidence that disease sometimes begins in the form of a negative thought impulse. And, you know, we were just talking about that in terms of the fear of criticism. And it's a doctor sometimes sends patients into new climates for their health because a change of mental attitude is necessary. Okay? That, you know, fear leads to, when you live in a sense of fear, you definitely are creating stress. And stress is known to, exacerbate illness because it helps to decrease the immune system. And when the immune system is compromised, then the cell activity in the body changes, and therefore we get many, many different illnesses. So, you know, it's a stress factor that really leads to many of the diseases. And we have spoken about many of these diseases over the past several weeks. The person with cancer who keeps their fear under control is going to do much better than one who fears death and fears all that is going to happen to them. And you know, cancer is a major illness in our world today. So fearing your health and worrying about your death definitely creates, again, we can go back and tie it into a state of mind of poverty, and all of the negative things start to occur.
Well, you being the author of The Little Pink Purse of Courage, which focuses on breast cancer, I'm sure you know a lot about those fears that people deal with. One of the things that I'm always in awe of are those people who just won't go to the doctor in fear of what the doctor might say.
Oh, yeah. Well, many of us don't want to know. We don't want to know what they're going to say, and therefore we stay home and we justify all the various signs and symptoms. And I just heard of someone who, and whether this is good or bad, I don't know. I have no judgment on it. But someone who just died recently of lung cancer within 2 weeks of that, that in itself is very, very unusual. But that person had symptoms, but obviously their fear was far greater than anything that they were feeling. And by the time they went to the doctor, they didn't have much more time to live. Some people could look at it and say, well, they didn't go through all the horrors of having to fight an illness and the treatment, which is sometimes they say worse than just doing without. But that is, I say, a judgment call. But that is what fear will do to you.
Excuse me, Cheryl and Pat. Just wanted to just remind our callers that are on hold that if you would like to make a comment, please press 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak, and that way we can open your line and you can have an opportunity to participate in the conversation. Thank you, Cheryl.
And thank you for that information. Going back to that fear, you find those young girls who think they may be pregnant and afraid to say something because of the backlash that they are expecting. Then you've got a child who is underdeveloped because the prenatal care was not there.
Excellent. So. You're right, Cheryl. I really wanted to make a comment a little earlier in reference to what Pat was saying. And I just want to say for the listening audience that, you know, Pat to me is like an expert in the area of health in terms of your day-to-day. And she's being very, very modest, but she has done some tremendous work with writing books, the little pink purses you discussed a little earlier. She even has some knowledge about, you know, investment clubs. She's written a book on that. So Pat is extremely knowledgeable because she's made herself available to learn these different things because she's done what? She's overcome fears of the unknown. So she's delved into things that normally we would say, oh, I'll get to it. She's made an effort to get to it, and she's done a tremendous job. So Pat, I just want to tell you thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and allowing us to partake in the things that you have learned, because it's been such a blessing to me through the things that I'm going through. Some of you know about my personal struggles, and I'm sure that we all have them, but it's just wonderful to have sisters and friends we have to share that things with through this mastermind process that we have with IMA. So it makes the boat just a little less lighter. It makes the travel or the road is a little more sweeter. So I just want to thank God for that while I'm on the phone with you all, because all of you have played a major role in helping my life to go a little bit better with all the things that I'm dealing with my mom and so forth. But it has been a blessing. I just want to share with those who are listening to this show as it relates to your fears and different things about yourself. The main thing to understand about what Napoleon Hill talks about is that he really deals with your subconscious mind. And we are in control of all that we think and do and become. We are really the deciding factor that makes the difference in whatever we choose to do or whatever we choose not to do. It will be so. So I just want to echo what you all are saying in reference to your fears and bring them under some kind of subjection and harnessing them so that they're not a part of stifling your life and what it can become. Because we miss so many things because of the spirit of procrastination, the spirit of fear. They actually work hand in hand. Because of the fear of the unknown, we don't delve out into it. So therefore, we continue to procrastinate. And they just continue to feed on each other unless you get another factor in there that helps you step out of both of those, so that you can continue to move forward. So, ladies, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful call again. I can't thank you enough. This has been really rich and just so exciting. This makes you like a little kid inside when you continue to talk about these wonderful things that help and just re-motivates me to get back out there and get started. I can do it. I will do it. I am already successful. So I just want to thank you all for that, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of the discussion.
Okay, and thank you for giving us that sneak preview to what the cures are, which is where we are headed.
So thank you for that. Okay. Now, when we look at the loss of love that Napoleon Hill talks about, he says that it drives jealousy. And I'm sure that's true. Unfortunately, it drives the type of jealousy that can lead to a vicious crime. You've got that fault-finding that comes with that. And interestingly enough, he talks about how the loss of the fear of the loss of love of someone causes people to go into overspending in their effort to impress the person that they're in relationship with, from gambling, cheating, stealing, and it just makes no sense. Makes no sense. Have you had any experiences with that, Pat, about interacting with people who you've seen those types of attributes in?
Well, he says the fear of the loss of someone you love is the most painful of all the six basic fears, and it probably plays more havoc with the body and mind than any of the others. And we see this all the time in terms of, you have to look at the loss of someone you love through divorce. You can look at the loss of someone you love through death. And so I will speak to you of my own personal experience. I think I have, since the loss of my husband far too many years ago, I think I still use food as my lover and my comfort. I admit and accept that, but I need to do something about that. I think people need to understand that the loss in divorce, as my sister pointed out to me, once, is that it's sometimes even more painful than the loss of someone to death, because when death comes, that person is out of sight, out of mind, and you wrestle with the pain through life, yes. But when you are divorced, sometimes the pain keeps recurring because you may run into this person, you may have to deal with the child support issues. So there is that, the loss of love, it's coming and it's going, sometimes is very painful. But as you say, one of the things he's talking about too is the loss of love as it is with jealousy. And as you know, jealousy can be a very destructive force, leads to all kinds of violence and self-recriminations and things like that, which all go back to health, because if we go back to the fear of ill health, Napoleon Hill says that there is overwhelming evidence that disease begins in the form of a negative thought impulse, such as impulse may be passed from one mind to the other by suggestion or created by an individual in their own mind. So if you tie that into the fear of loss of love, you can see how a direct path to sickness can be easily created.
Imagining things that's not there. My mother always said, if you ever think, if you look for a thing in a relationship, you'll find it even when it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful with that loss of love, that you don't sabotage a healthy relationship based on your own insecurities. Whoa, now this fear is the fear that I'm trying to act like is not mine. And that is the fear of old age. And it's not so much because my hair is gray, but it's because my body is aching. What can you tell us about that fear of old age, Pat?
I hope you're not asking me that question because you think I have some extraordinary insight in that, as I'm from one of the younger people on the call.
Well, as you noted earlier, the book is 72 years old, not you. But being that you're in that medical field and you pull all the time, I just thought and hoped that maybe you had observed some things in the area of fear of old age.
Strictly my observation. One of the great fears, having worked for many years in my youth with older people, I worked in the nursing homes for many, many years, and did a lot of home health care. The fear of aging is very real and very tangible, and it has, I think, for young people, I consider myself fortunate to having worked with older people during my youth because it gave me some insight into how I planned to live my life, coupled with going to Landmark Education and now Masterminders. One of the things that, as you know, in our society, we have this whole concept which has been embedded, I think, since post-World War II of the nuclear family, where there's just a mother, the child, and these proverbial two children, and there is not an extended family where grandma, grandpa, old aunts live in the homes with us. This is just not the cultural norm. And it's getting back to that because what has happened in the economy. But our tendency is to put our older people as they either start to lose some faculties or they are not able to remember how to take their medications, or they do get illnesses into homes. That too is changing with long-term care, and the emphasis on the new Health Care Act is to try and keep people in their environment. But for me, one of the saddest things, as I was a young woman looking at people coming into nursing homes, and I remember vividly, I'll never forget this woman who walked in. She was not able to manage very well anymore, but she was still great. Walked in her beautiful mink coat and showed her her room and everything like that. And I sat, as I finished and I went to the nurse's station, I said to myself, this will take a month about, and she won't be this proud, tall, attractive woman anymore. And it is a terrible thing to watch people lose their independence when they are institutionalized and you have no sense of who they are. And I think that is one of the great fears that I have seen and the great losses when you are older. You go into a hospital when you're older and the level of care is different because they say, well, she's 95. I mean, you know, she doesn't need all that. And they ignore you. Or you speak because you're 95 or 85 or even 70-something. And they don't think you know what you're speaking about. And they take away your dignity a little by little. One of the other things that I learned from all my older people as I watched them and took care of them was one of them, they always said to me, now, remember, live all your life now, you know, young lady, because these are not the golden years. These are the tarnished years.
Oh,
now, we could relate that back to something that Anne points out to us all the time, in that Anne says you can't go into life, whether it is at 75, 25, 95, without having a plan. And I would dare say that most of these people didn't have a plan, because I took care of people who were extraordinarily wealthy, and I was the only person that they saw and looked forward to seeing while they were in their gorgeous penthouses curled up in their beds. And under the help, whether it was a nurse or a housekeeper. So old age, it's not only the aches and the pains of the physical body, it is what it creates in the mind. And that is a fear that I think Napoleon Hill is talking about that is so important, that we have to address while we are in this state of functionality and the ability to make our own decisions. We have to literally, really plan what is going to happen to us. I mean, simple little things like where we live today, getting your bath stool ready, making sure you live in a house that, you know, a wheelchair can get into. How are you going to get your groceries up to your house? These are the things that undermine you once you start to lose independence, right? And people start to treat you differently. So they feel you're slipping because of your age. And,
wow.
And you know, this is the dynamic of the fear of old age that is very real. For us, the loss of your dignity, the loss of the way people see you, the way they think what you're saying is related to your age. And it's not only the fact that when you get up in the morning, everything hurts. But, again, we have to do things like using weights to strengthen our bones. It's not just about walking and running. We have to use weights so that we strengthen our bones, don't get osteoporosis. Or as black women, we are very fortunate in that area that it's not such a serious illness for us because our density of our bones is thicker, and therefore osteoporosis is not as pervasive in the lives of black women and men as it is in non-black people and certainly in the Caucasian race. So it's not only independence of mobility, but we have to maintain the independence of mind, the independence of functionality.
Wow. We've got less than 10 minutes left, and so I don't want to run over the fear of death and it's more probably the fear of the unknown and especially not knowing when it's going to come. As, you know, any day you can open an obituary and find people from all ages. But that being said, let's move quickly, if it's okay with you, Pat, into some of the cures for these fears. And one of the things I like about this particular chapter.
Excuse me, Cheryl.
Yes.
Yeah, excuse me. 1 second, and I know you're trying to wrap up, but one of the things that we like to do during the show is to have an intermission break and share with our listening audience that this show is being brought by the International Mastermind Association, and we also like to have the host group to tell a little bit about their group. So I know we're trying to rush through the chapter. Maybe the group that's coming on after you may be willing to pick up the balance of the chapter since you'll have a month and before they go into the beginning of the book. So I just wanted to just mention that and also suggest to our listening audience that before we end, if maybe someone from the next group would come on and share, or if you want to promote the next group that's coming on after you. And with that, I'd just like to turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Yes,
Maureen,
I'm going to do that.
Cheryl, before you go on, sorry, it's Stephanie. I believe Nefreda Thomas is on the line, and she's going to be the next host of the show and like to say a little something before you wrap up. Go ahead, Nefreda.
Yes, thank you so much. Cheryl, did you want me to do that now, or do you want to go into something that you were just discussing? Because I can do that now if you'd like.
Please, go right ahead.
Okay. Our group is called Call to Conquer. We will be with you guys in the month of April. And we're asking everyone who's listening to please join in with us. We're going to continue with this discussion on our first show. It is so powerful. It's been such a blessing that we are going to continue. We have 4 Saturdays coming up, so we can continue with start with the beginning at the other show. But the next show that will be on next Saturday, which is April the 7th at 8 a.m., same station, same phone number to call into. We're going to be discussing continuous discussion on the sixth sense and the end of a Think and Grow Rich book. So please join us. We're looking forward. Natasha Jones, myself, Imelda Wallace, as members of Call to Conquer, we're going to be doing that on the show on April the 7th, again at 8 a.m. And it's going to be interactive, ladies and gentlemen. So please get your pens, your paper. We want you to participate with us. So we're looking forward to it. I'm very excited about the show. And thank you so much, Cheryl, for giving me an opportunity to share with your listening audience about the show that's coming up. We are very excited about it, and we're so thankful that you all will be joining us on next week. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Thank you. We can't wait to hear what you guys will be presenting. Pat, would you like to talk about our group for a moment?
Cheryl, Isabel Rivers, Alice Finch, and I are members of the Women of Balance, and we have been privileged this past 5 Saturdays to speak to you in the areas of health. This morning we talked about how to outwit the 6 ghosts of fear, and the last 2 were the fear of death and worry. And I think we have, in a way, covered them because worry makes us paralyzed, and the fear of death is something that is real, but nothing that we can truly do anything about except really not to make it an obsession. I did want to leave our listening audience to ask everyone to maybe get pens and paper, because we wanted to leave you some references regarding some areas of health that are prevalent and that you might be able to get some help if you were ever diagnosed with any of these. First of all, if anybody would like to learn a lot about supporting cancer survivors, and if one has anybody who has cancer in their family, I can't think of someone who doesn't, there's this wonderful magazine called Cure, and you can go to curetoday.com. Also, if you want to know how your cancer should be treated, there are the guidelines that are available to the public on nccn.com. And there's also breastcancer.org. A book that I would like to leave as a reading material for everyone on this call and for every child that we know. And for those of you who have read it, maybe you'd like to talk about it at some other time on Blog Talk Radio with International Masterminders. The book is called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And this book is all about how science has used the cells of this young, impoverished black woman to discover the cure for polio, to create new chemotherapy agents, to get the drugs for AIDS. Through her cells, which have made her immortal, over at least 800 billion of her cells have been grown throughout the world and sold in order to cure and to find new treatments for diseases throughout the world. And I think this is a fitting book for us as masterminders to read, especially during this year when we have declared health as an important subject, to know that this young woman made this difference to the entire world.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pat. Well, it appears that we're right close to the end. We thank all of you who shared your time with us. We understand that time is the one thing you cannot get back. And being that you shared it with us, we want you to know how much we appreciate you, not only as a listening audience, but those of you who participated. So we've given you the six basic fears and their negative effects. Time really won't allow us to give you the cure for the basic fears, but if you dig into that chapter and especially take that self-analysis, you'll be glad you did. But here's the deal. We each have absolute control over one thing and one thing only, and that's our thoughts. We decide which thoughts we will entertain, how long we'll entertain them, how often we'll entertain them. And so being that we are in charge of our thoughts, it's going to be most important that we overcome those fears that paralyze us, as Napoleon Hill says, and that we control our mind, which is the result of self-discipline and habits. So you have to be in the habit of controlling your thoughts. You have to be mindful of what types of things you're putting on the inside of your mind, because no one else can do that for you. People can shoot it in your direction, but you have to receive it and twirl it around there and decide whether it's garbage or something you can use. And don't get tricked into thinking that every word a person tells you is true. Just because Mama said it doesn't mean it's a fact. It just makes it her observation. So that being said, thank you so much for being with us today. And in the words of Abraham Lincoln, who said, "Good things come to those who wait for what's left from those who hustled." Keep in mind, if you're really going to have the life that you deserve, become a masterminder and make the life you so deserve. That being said, Ann McNeil, our founder, are there any closing remarks you'd like to share?
Well, Cheryl, I don't know if you want to hear this closing remark, and that is the fact that I just extended your time just a little in case you wanted to have the privilege of saying any additional words so that the show would not cut off. So if you want to end the show, you can. If you want to continue a few minutes, you can do that also. But
how
I think
many minutes
that,
do I have?
30.
Wow. Okay, well, we won't take all 30, but we will definitely tackle these cures, because it's one thing to have the problem. It's another thing to have the problem and the cure that goes with it. So that being said, let's take a moment. I'm going to stay a good 7 minutes to look at the cure for the fears that we've just addressed. Now, excuse me?
I'm sorry, Cheryl, if you don't mind. Yes, I just wanted to just mention to Ms. Thomas, if she's still listening, that because this chapter is so rich, and I know she was talking about the sixth sense, but we're actually in the epilogue on how to outwit the sixth ghost of fear. And maybe her group would consider, you mentioned early in the show, about the self-analysis test questions. I think when you look at those questions, you know, the questions alone is a show by itself. So I just wanted to just encourage Ms. Thomas and her group to consider continuing, even though you're going to start talking about the fears. This is a very rich, rich, rich chapter, and there's still left, you still left some meat on the bone.
Yes, I certainly have. We knew we couldn't tackle it in an hour, but those things that stops people from getting to their true destiny, we wanted to take a moment and deal with those. So to help you really get to where you deserve to be in life, we suggest that you really tackle those fears. So Napoleon Hill tells us that although we allow various fears to enter into our mindset, we must discard those fears, recognizing that they don't belong to us. So as I said earlier, just because people give you stuff, tell you stuff, doesn't mean that you have to hold on to it. Use that that's good, discard the rest. So as we look at releasing the fear of death, we must do so by reaching the decision to accept death as an inevitable part of life. We get into life by birth, and we get out of this life by death. And depending on our belief systems, we can just do different types of things. I don't want to get into religion. But depending on what you believe in, death is just a part of that process, of that transition, is the word Napoleon Hill uses, that just keeps on going. In fact, in that chapter, he goes on to talk about the different things in life that just cannot die, and that being matter and all of the things that we're made up of. So there is not a death, there's a leaving earth, and study that, read that. Pat, you want to add to that?
No, not really. I just wanted to remind everybody, since we have the extra time, a little extra time, that they can still tune in and make sure to tune in next week, Saturday, to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, and to call in if they're still on the air to 661-554-9219. And if anyone wants to learn more about Masterminders, please go to the internet and put in www.internationalmasterminders.com to learn more about this powerful organization.
Thank you. Well said. Napoleon Hill says that to eliminate the fear of old age, we do so by making the decision to accept aging not as a handicap, but as a great blessing. That when we age correctly, it will bring on wisdom, self-control, and understanding. My mother would often say there's nothing worse than an old fool. So if you age wisely, not only will you age wisely, but you'll be able to share your wisdom with others. Our next fear, to master the fear of the loss of love, I think you must first start by loving yourself. And when you start by loving yourself, sometimes it means reaching the decision that you may have to get along without a companion. It does not devalue who you are,
but it just says that you will find other ways to receive love from people who truly love you. And sometimes the love of a companion, you can have a companion and not have the love of a companion. So be careful with that one. Comments, Pat?
Just ditto.
Okay. Now, to defeat the fear of criticism, you do that by reaching the decision not to worry about what other people think, about what other people do, and especially about what other people say. There will always be the naysayers. And if you just realize that that's who they are, that's where they are, I often tell my students, do not allow other people to measure you by their measuring stick. That's the truth. That is true for them does not mean it is true for you. So just discard that negative conversations that other people will share with you. I said those are the shoulders in life. You should this, you should that, you should the other. Don't shit on me. Next, overcome the fear of ill health by making the simple decision to take care of your health. Now, Napoleon Hill says a little bit more than that, so that's it in a nutshell. He says, forget the symptoms. I don't know if you can forget the symptoms, but I do know that when you get really busy living your life, you don't focus on the symptoms of the things that you're dealing with. And as Pat said, when you begin to do your strength training and get out and laugh and enjoy life, you'll find that that fear of ill health goes away. It was Norman Cousins who laughed himself back to health. So get out, enjoy your life, exercise, eat right, and laugh, 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 laugh. And those of you who are taking care of, who are caregivers to aging parents and ill relatives, you must, and I'm talking about my own experiences, you must make it a point to get out from that situation and go and laugh and do it guilt-free. Enjoy your life. Because if you don't enjoy your life, as they say on the airplane, you've got to take care of you before you can take care of others. And if you don't enjoy your life, then you'll find that it'll be most difficult to go through those daily chores that just pulls at your heart. To whip the fear of poverty, you do that by reaching the decision to get along with whatever you have accumulated. The stuff you already have, utilize that. Don't keep going out and buying more stuff and getting in a bigger hole, and now you're dodging phone calls from creditors. So just get along with the stuff that you have. Utilize it. Treasure it. Don't abuse it so you don't have to keep going out and getting more stuff. Believe it or not, the only way to address these fears is to address them head on. This is not one of those things that you can beat around the bush with. You've got to tackle it head on. You've got to determine to master it. As Ann said, Pat, you want to say anything before I close?
No, you're doing very well there, Cheryl. We're impressed.
Well, you know, I was tackling that fear a little bit earlier. I'm kind of in control of that thing right now. I've been talking to myself. Time will only allow us to just skim this chapter, get into it. Hopefully the next group will go, and there's so many good things in there. Do the self-analysis, work with those questions, be honest. As William Shakespeare says, to thine own self be true. Make sure you're honest about the answers to your questions. Whether the answer is comfortable or uncomfortable, be honest about it. We have enjoyed our time with you. I thank you so much, IMA, Mastermind Association, International Mastermind Association, for giving me an opportunity to grow in an area that I was not interested in growing in. You are forever pushing me into my greatness, and so I say thank you. And it's yours.
Rachel, it's a pleasure. Until next time, please join International Masterminders at www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders for another show on Think and Grow Rich. Until next Saturday, this is Patricia Edwards with the Women of Balance, Cheryl Duncan, and for Izzy Bell Rivers and Alice Fincher, it was a pleasure having this opportunity. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you for listening.